Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Yeah, you love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love our listeners. So much.
Yeah.
Because
are you going to say something negative? Because usually when you say something like that, then you say something mean right after.
Absolutely not. Honestly.
Okay.
Since kvetching about my beehole problems last week, first of all, I want to say thank you for the concern that I actually got from many, many people. And it's true because Kissel, because it's the one true problem you don't have, like you don't have butthole problems.
I have no idea. I went to the doctor yesterday and he was amazed, as a matter of fact, that I don't have butthole problems.
But literally, the people that reach out are, they are akin to a brother and sisterhood. It's people just being like, I got you. I get it. The conclusion uh-huh. of their studies that they sent to me is that for long-term plane rides, especially over 10 hours, uh-huh. people a lot of times use padded bike shorts under their clothes.
So you want to go on a plane looking like, you know, just slamming cliff bars?
I want to
bring
like
a
I
bike
am,
on
yes,
the plane
yes,
because otherwise
little,
everyone is just going to know that's a fellow sensitive butthole boy.
I got to get the little clip-on shoes that go onto the bikes and you'll be like, sorry, guys, I got all my bike gear with me. Yeah. I'm going to the meet. Is there a meet coming to? I think the Tour de Pants is down the street. It's a sports diaper.
Well, honestly, you need it, buddy. You need that extra padding.
I do.
You got that Polish behind. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel. We got Henry Zebrowski there as well in beautiful Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is fine.
Yeah, you know, it's hot as hell here. Do you want to talk about the weather? I immediately started this show in old man uncle corner.
You did it.
It's hot.
It's hot.
But yes, it is hot because it's the summer and that's the way things work. Yes.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, it's called fucking July. It's New York City. Yeah, it's a hot place.
I know.
It becomes
a hot. I understand. I understand.
I will
it's
say.
It's killing puffin.
Los Angeles just became a little bit safer now that Jeffrey Epstein is finally zapped, man. Wow.
Ugh,
we really got
God.
Him this time.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to get pardoned or somehow have a massive defense team come and swing everything around.
Or the president that is heavily implicated in all of his multinational crimes is going to immediately pardon him. There's no fucking
Maybe.
Way.
No way.
If you do research, I guess, you know, like Jeffrey Epstein has been a boogeyman of the conspiracy theory world for so long. He is a financier, whatever the fuck that means. I know he works for a hedge fund in his own company. He used to work for Bear Stearns. He broke away he says he wanted to run his own business, but there's a lot of rumors about why he left in terms goes all the way from insider trading to raping a secretary. And then he formed his own company. He loves the company of very young women.
Very young, of course. This story, it's so vast. We're going to focus more on the conspiracy angle for the purposes of this show. There's also a huge political story, multiple political stories. The political fallout's going to be huge, so I'll talk about that on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. But yeah, man, this is going to get, and this already is, absolutely disgusting.
It is disgusting, and it's massive, and it's the view into what the real Illuminati is, which is these groups of vaguely, because Epstein wanted to be anonymous. He loves being as private as possible.
Right.
People love calling him elusive and mysterious, all this fucking bullshit. I read that Vanity Fair article about him called The Talented Mr. Epstein that they did. It's very, very interesting about, but she talks about how he skirted all of these child prostitution charges in the mid-2000s in Florida.
Right.
Because a man named, I believe it was his first name, it was Eric Acosta?
His name, no, it's Alex Alex Acosta. I think Eric Acosta is an actor,
I do think that Eric Acosta, I think I was in an audition with room with him the other day. Lovely
That's
man.
That's unfortunate. Alex Acosta, who is now, of course, our Secretary of Labor. He was the man in charge over there in Florida, and he gave Epstein the sweetheart deal, 13 months in prison, or in jail, and it wasn't even 13 months in jail because he got 6 days of work release every week.
It's almost like he's so interconnected to so many different slush funds and so many different politicians that if you were to arrest him for his crimes, he could release a hellscape onto everybody. Because
this is
it's everybody. It's connected. It's the Clintons, fucking get him. It's Trump, fucking get him. It's all of the people attached to. It's Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes. Now I don't. What is this Ray Fiennes thing you mentioned? Did you remember the black book that Jeffrey Epstein opens up at some point is gonna make? Do you remember Heidi Fleiss?
Yes,
that was like the Hollywood madam, and that story in the '90s, the innocent. Innocent 1990s. We're like,
Charlie Sheen likes prostitutes?
What? He goes, oh my goodness. And that Hugh? It's Hugh?
No,
he had Hugh. Sex with a sex worker?
Wait a second. You mean to tell me Hugh Grant of Notting Hill made love to a sex worker that wasn't his wife?
Oh my God. That was a story in the 90s. Fast forward, 2019. It is going to get so nasty. That black book is full of names. Like Ray Fiennes. Rafe Fiennes, I don't even know how to say his name, but how the hell does he know Jeffrey Epstein?
He's in the little black book with a circle around his name. All of these weird codes that he has, all these written things, it's super suspicious, kind of like what led us to Pizzagate, all these weird kind of conspiratorial, what they believe to be, like, it's a. This is the problem, right? Is that this is how the quote-unquote spook worlds work for a long time, is that you put bits of misinformation deep inside of real information, so if anything ever comes out about it, you are then labeled a crank or something ridiculous. Like Pizzagate was kind of folded into the center of this story to discredit the entire belief system and the idea that there is a series of child prostitute rings that are used as secret-keeping techniques used world over. And it's been going on since almost the beginning of authority, that these using blackmail systems in order to keep people in check at all times. And Epstein is a working cog in that machine.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, with Pizzagate, obviously that is not a thing that is true. But when it comes to what Henry was talking about with having leverage over someone, if you watch the movie Battlefield Earth, John Travolta mentions leverage about 1,000 times.
Which is also like, you're an alien with dreads and superior firepower. You don't need leverage.
It's all about leverage, but that's what they do in Scientology as well, where they're like, sit down, tell me the worst parts about yourself. In no way are we going to use this against you.
Keep secrets. Tom Cruise is gay. I only keep secrets. But also,
but going back to what you were talking about with the circles and the names in the book, it reminds me of Jimmy Savile as well, right? Or Savile. Because didn't he have like a whole like code if they did? Oh, this is disgusting. But if they had anal sex or oral sex,
It was called licking a stamp. And then if it was fucking just sucking his penis, it was called raising the bridge. It's like all these kind of different things.
Disgusting.
But no, we're almost in threat of, though, is because of the constant news cycle, this shit's just going to disappear. Like what happened when the Paradise Papers were revealed, too. Another gigantic view into what the quote-unquote Illuminati is, which are just these gigantic billionaires tied into the hedge fund world, tied into the finance world, tied into the corporate entity world that are running our entire fucking reality right now.
Absolutely. There's going to be a lot to unpack. And we'll follow the story as it goes on because I'm sure, I mean, I know Alan Dershowitz, which is so weird. He's like really disgusting. And Kenneth Starr, like those were his two lawyers before. I mean, so Kenneth Starr, of course, the Starr Report, the 50 Shades of Grey for political nerds that came out in the 1990s.
Yes,
it's going to get really, really nasty.
It's going to get
who
very
knows
nasty.
The names. But I mean, I would assume like Ray Fiennes, for example. First of all, how many people, because you're out there in Hollywood.
Highly weird, we like to call it. Yeah, because it's a little off center.
A little weird. But how many people do you think in Hollywood right now are currently on the toilet crapping their self themselves?
1 in 15. I'm going to say if you live anywhere with between Brentwood, Beverly Hills, I'm going to say some parts of Santa Monica, you are really, really nervous right now because you have at least been at a party where there was a couple of girls dressed as the Lollipop Guild, and they told you that they were little people. And you're like,
oh,
no, they
goodness.
Are little people, but I don't know if they're capital L, capital P little people.
And the elite parties that, you know what, we've never been invited to, except for one, the Heidi Klum Halloween party.
And that
That's
was
the only one.
And everybody was a full breasted woman and a full dicked man. I watched, there was no children there, because I've always thought about this shit. If you showed up, they all say the same shit about Epstein and all these parties, being like, we showed up and Trump had a 14-year-old Chechenian blind girl on his knee. And I was like, and they were all serving hors d'oeuvres while they were dressed as a little, they were all dressed as Hershey's Kisses. Well, everyone had trays of little sandwiches. And it's like, honestly, I can't imagine walking into a party that is after 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. where everybody else is suits and there are children in the room that are staff.
I think I would go crazy. You leave.
You get the fuck out of here. You call the police.
I would go like full mayor from Streets of Rage. I would just like start spinning around with my arms extended and just be like, no. And I would just try to take out as many people as possible. But of course, then the headline would be, podcaster Ben Kissel hammered at a party, escorted out, like tranquilized by an elephant gun. And then it would be like, I think Ben's really losing it. And then I have to be like, no, I was trying to stop a pedophile ring from actively happening.
That,
and
all
like,
of that is you outside of a cop car with a fucking bag over your head getting fucking slammed to the side of it. Just be like, it's a pedophile ring. It's a pedophile ring. I just don't get it because I think kids are bummers at parties.
Well, it's not where they belong. Anyway, they should be playing their video games.
Yes.
So yes, Jeffrey Epstein, it is going to be nauseating, and so anyway,
no,
we'll follow that trial as it continues.
And we'll see what happens. Obviously, this is just, it's so hard because it's a conspiracy theory. I mean, right now, this is just, we are just, I think what I'm going to say, this is the wackiest time period you can remember, right? I mean, we weren't around in the 60s. So I feel like the 60s and the 70s were pretty wacky. And then things kind of fucking died down a little bit. I'm not sure.
Well, it feels like the wackiness of the 60s and 70s and today. But it seems like the wackiness was like, let's get off the grid. Let's go to the middle of nowhere. And now the wackiness is like facial recognition. The wackiness is like everyone's connected. I kind of like the idea of, you know, the get off the grid concept that the 60s seemed to sort of, you know, cultivate.
I feel like to do it now is truly a life choice. I know people that go off the grid, and it takes a lot of fucking prep. And you need
cash. Can you
even
do it?
Yeah, you can. Of course you can. I actually thought, I want to turn a room into my house into a black box. Like, you can do that, where you can make it so no signals get in and out. It costs money, like, and you have to get proper equipment. It's a whole thing. And then it's very difficult. We're ensconced in the world. You and I are, unfortunately, for everyone else, public figures now. So what that means is that you sacrifice a little bit of privacy because we are out there all the time, so they can fucking zap us anywhere we go. When we went to Australia, like, you saw how actively the CCTVs were being used, where in the United States, it's a little bit more covert. Where there, which I actually kind of appreciate that it's more open, that they they take your picture of your face, you're walking through, because every airport has the little fucking mouse maze that you walk out in Australia where they take fucking 7 pictures of you on various angles so they can pick you out in a crowd.
Yeah, they can see your face as you're farting, and be like, as you can see, the fart begins here, and it ends. Nice.
The heat signatures coming out of your butt. we are currently in a dystopia. But my thing is, if we're in a dystopia, who are we going to be, right? My goal, honestly, in the end, perfect dystopian character, perfect dystopian role for the person who really only likes the laugh, Michael Caine in Children of Men. If can go into the back area of being a weed dealer in the semi-future with cool stereo equipment, then you got it made.
Well, let's talk about stereo equipment, what plays on stereos, music, what? And we're also going to talk, I love these, this is the, I'm just so good at this.
You're so
and
good.
Also, we mentioned facial recognition, so who's on the front lines against facial recognition? Turns out, Insane Clown Posse, the Juggalos, baby. This is awesome. Apparently, Juggalo makeup, it's worn by all the fans, obviously you've seen it. It makes facial recognition cameras completely useless because all they see is a good time party, people.
Certain types of facial recognition technology. What it does, there are certain types that just measure the width between your eyes, like basically your eye structure and your jawline. And what it seems that Juggalo makeup does is a lot of it, especially with the mouth accentuation, is that it fucks with the... It's fucking incredible.
I love it,
dude. It fucks with the computer's... assignment of your jawline. So it bumps it up. It makes your face look really tiny so they can't recognize you. But people like with the face lock, this bullshit on the iPhone, it uses depth perception. So it can still work. You can have Juggalo makeup on and it would still recognize your face on an iPhone.
Yes, but yeah, that's right. Apple's Face ID, they got it figured out. But Juggalo makeup is also one way to draw attention to yourself because the FBI has also classified the Juggalos as, quote, a loosely organized hybrid gang.
They've been talking about this for years.
I have no idea what that means. What's a loosely organized hybrid gang? That is not a gang. That is not... Leave the Juggalos alone. What do?
I think they legitimately set up the Juggalos as a terrorist group so then they can say, like, any fan of anything, like, hip-hop-wise is a terrorist group. I think that it's we'll say vaguely racist as a way of being like, no, we got one group of white people here, but then we could use all the rest of them. We could fucking zap them one by one.
Could be. I'm just so happy. Honestly, if you are undercover, when we were in Australia, we had a great opportunity. Simon was our tour manager, loved him, and one of his buddies was a former undercover cop. And
he was telling stories.
These stories were incredible, but can you imagine being FBI undercover? You're at, a Juggalo festival. You have to start butt-chugging Faggo because they threw you on the stage. And they're like, butt-chug. And you're like,
Just covered in strippers. Honestly, I feel like you joined the fucking family.
You have
at some point being like, this is too sweet. This is too fucking sweet of a deal. I get to be a part of this. What is that? The big fat guy. That big fat guy.
The guy in Insane Clown Posse?
He's not in Insane Clown Posse. He has a house in Florida that's like, I want to say
Kim.com?
Is that Kim.com? Big overhanging gut.
It could be Kim.com.
Or is he dead?
No, he's in jail.
But there was one guy who had a big overhanging gut, and he had skinny legs and skinny arms and a skinny head, and he had all these like sex workers and like strippers with him everywhere, and they're always like jumping. They're rubbing their butts on his gut.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Strange fantasy. Honestly, it could be Kim.com. I think that is Kim.com.
Let me look it up.
I think so. Yeah, check that out.
That is not Kim.com.
Look,
it's fat guy.
This is
strippers.
What you have to Google. All right.
ICP.
Google this at home. Okay. Fat guy, strippers, ICP. Google that at home.
So the man I just discovered, the man is his name is Big L.A., and he did a thing called he had an Orlando-based full-service party organization headed up by the nephew of celebrity and actor, legendary madman Gary Busey.
Oh!
I guess it was the nephew of Gary Busey, a guy named Mike Busey. This is him. This is Mike Busey.
Okay, very cool.
Good for him.
I suppose so. As long as everyone is well compensated,
I need
and
to look
of age and protected.
Well, now that I am immediately looking up to see Big L.A. crimes.
Yeah.
crimes that he's done? Nah, dude, I don't know what this guy's deal is.
All right. Nonetheless, yes, so get out there, Juggalos. You're on the front lines of the war against facial recognition. Although, again... it's all in there. But talking about that,
I want to talk about the. So let me say another reason why we're in the middle of a fucking sci-fi story right now is this whole story about the U.S. Navy being listed as an assignee on these several radical aviation technologies, according to thedrive.com, patented by an aerospace engineer working at the Naval Air Warfare Center Aircraft Division (NAWCAD) headquarters in Patuxent River, Maryland.
Ooh, that's where you
want to be. One of these patents describes a hybrid aerospace underwater craft claimed to be capable of truly extraordinary feats of speed and maneuverability in air, water, and outer space alike, thanks to a revolutionary electromagnetic propulsion system, which they are basically working on to catch up with the Chinese that are developing something just like this.
So this sounds like an alien spacecraft. This sounds like a UFO or something.
Yes, it sounds like they are back engineering a UFO, and then maybe China is already be working on the same thing, which is now heavily in the news because Bob Lazar came out on Rogan, and he did a huge interview mixed with his documentary, Bob Lazar, UFOs and Saucers, on Netflix that also came out, directed by Jeremy Corbell. And it is very interesting. His story is interesting. He seems as if... If you know anything about Bob Lazar, you know for a fact that he worked at a place called S4, which was next to Area 51, and one of his jobs was to back engineer one of several UFOs that were kept in a hangar there, and his job was to figure out how their gravitational engines worked, and which was just a sphere on a box they essentially had a lid to, and would work if you just put the lid on it. It would emit these fucking gravity rays, which were officially discovered in 2016, which he's been talking about since the fucking 80s. And and apparently it works as this giant pewter UFO, this huge molded piece of thing that the only way things work is they have to all sit inside. They have to sit in specific places. And so Bob Lazar has this very ornate story that was covered by George Knapp very extensively. He has both been torn apart by the press and exonerated everything. He's lived a life of torture. Every whistleblower does.
Yeah.
And this story is about whether or not you believe Bob Lazar actually does believe in these detailed stories. He obviously does, but is it true, or is he completely schizophrenic?
Yeah, it's interesting. I watched a little doc on him, and he seemed very hesitant to talk about it, which I thought was made him seem a little bit more trustworthy. I do definitely believe he believes what he's saying, for sure. And speaking of Area 51... Apparently, Facebook is really organizing a lot of people, but not to go ruin elections. It's organizing around 120,000 alien hunters. They're planning to storm Area 51 to discover the truth. One dude tried to do this about last year, I think, and got shot. So I think this could really end up... I don't know what they're going to find.
My concept is I think the energy is misdirected. I think there are other places we could storm. And take that I think would really be helpful. But I wouldn't be fucking surprised if they don't put out. Because, you know, Canada, they revealed all those sound weapons.
Oh, yeah.
That they use against protesters. And I would not be surprised.
Oh, if it does happen.
Because I don't know. Because I'd like to see it happen. But I'd like to see what happens when they do it. But I imagine they will be repelled in some way, shape, or form.
Well, and I'm not demeaning anyone, which of course means I'm about to demean some people here.
Yes.
But when I think about alien enthusiasts, alien hunters, I don't think about athleticism. I don't think like starting off at the foot. Like it's not what was that movie with Tom Cruise where they had to go plant the flag and it was like we're getting our stake of land, fly away wagon, something
what?
Like that.
What? Fly away home?
Fly away home, yeah.
Is it like that?
It is, because they're all going to start, and then they're going to be like, go, and then they're all going to run, and it's going to be a bunch of...
Fly Away Home is the Anna Paquin vehicle with the geese she was trying to save. With Jeff Daniels.
I don't know. No, the one... Wayward Hat?
The Last Samurai?
No, not The Last Samurai.
He was the Last Samurai in that.
Yes, well,
He was white.
I know.
You know that Tom Cruise is gay? I went to one of the Scientology fucking senators, and that's the first thing they sent me. That's the first thing they sent to me.
Far and away.
This is great.
That is the name of Anyway, so it's just going to be a bunch of, like, alien enthusiasts scampering as fast as they can to get to Area 51. And don't be surprised, one falls down on the front. Next thing you know, it's like a Michael Jackson concert. He's getting stomped to death, and now we have a casualty on our hands.
I'll tell you what, man. I do the elliptical. I got my cardio tight. I can get in there. If we could set up, I really do feel like actually what you're saying is, while insulting, it actually is illuminating to what the real problem is that we actually do need to have some sort of training program for all the people going through. We need some kind of like Bowflex system, some kind of like we need somebody getting in there, teaching these guys how to sprint, how to do obstacle courses.
Billy Blanks.
We need some Billy Blanks action in this because they're really going to need to know how to duck and cover. They're going to have to do a lot of, because for me, the way to really do this maneuvers, you got to run serpentine fashion. You got to run like a lightning bolt, like running away from an alligator.
Yes, that's just like a lightning bolt, not like a drunk man just desperately trying to find his car. No, that is.
Perfect. I know it's here somewhere. I shouldn't be driving it if I can't find it.
No, I don't think so. Can't find it. You shouldn't drive it. Who knows what they're going to find? It is fun though. If it does work out. I will say kudos for just it'll be a blast for these guys to all get together and gals, of course.
To be honest, it's wasted energy because this is the kind of shit that should have happened in the '80s. Because now everything's been moved out of Area 51. Because now that Area 51 has become public, there's no fucking way it's going to actually house all of the secrets. It all moves to another fucking place. Like you obviously have secret aircraft, but it's not the secret aircraft we want to find.
But what if they're overthinking that thought?
You think it's like the Sicilian in The Princess Bride?
Yes.
No.
It is.
I don't think it is 4D chess. I think they know.
It really could be.
I mean, honestly, I don't know.
Speaking of which, and I'm going to mention this because I believe Travis will be on Top Hat with me this week, but evidently 4D chess just triggered because everyone's like, oh, Donald Trump plays 4D chess.
Sure.
Some of his supporters, we're not going to get hyper political here, but some of his supporters, after seeing the pictures of him with Jeffrey Epstein, are like, oh, he was working undercover.
Oh my God.
He was working undercover to crack the case. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Oh my God.
Firmly, Area 51, it's more likely that they have an active alien working as a janitor. Donald Trump was undercover.
I imagine there are several Mexicans working at Area 51 without paperwork.
I hope so.
But honestly, we are, again, back to wacky times. It's just how much news can we take in one cycle? Like the UFO disclosure that is happening right now, it seems to be purposefully directed. Same thing with the exposure of Epstein. It's all of this shit that is all kind of coming to the surface. But if they're letting this shit come to the surface, what is submerging? What's the stuff that's why are these? Because the news companies are attached to the advertising companies. All this shit all depends on each other. They depend on the stock market. They depend on all this shit holding. Why are they giving up certain things?
Right.
Because that, for me, just means they're making other shit private.
Well, also, you know, at some point, you just age yourself out of the power that you once held. The cover of Newsweek, whatever. The Clintons don't have any more power. They're gone. They're in exile. It's like done. So, yeah, when all your powerful buddies are no longer in power, I mean, obviously, not mentioning Trump, because he's still there. But,
And we have this fun story that I received from several listeners. I think it's really fun. Virginia dad fires 39 shots at naked devil, quote unquote, who broke into family's home on first night living there. This is according to Fox News, so we'll see what it says. A Virginia dad on Thursday fired 39 warning shots. 39 warning shots. And brawled with a naked woman who called herself the devil after she allegedly broke into the family's home on their first night living there. The violent confrontation happened in Chesterfield County on the evening of the 4th of July. So this happened on the 4th of July.
God.
A female suspect who was naked and with blue hair and a ponytail broke into the family's home and refused to leave, telling them, I'm the devil. Hey, I'm the devil. Flapping her titties. This is fun.
Oh, my.
The dad of the family then fired 39 warning shots, but she was undeterred.
You can see the pictures here of these so-called warning shots. I think he was just a bad shot, because I never heard of 39 warning shots before.
He pulled a Yosemite Sam and just went like, woo, 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 woo. A brawl broke out between the woman and the family, including the 12-year-old son. They're all fighting this woman to get her out of the fucking house.
And this woman is naked the entire time.
Yes.
They just moved in. They're just like, honey, we finally did it. Our family home is finally with us. And
then I'm the David.
Here, son, now's your time to finally wrestle a warranted naked woman. Oh, go get her. Goodness. Go get that. Get that pig. Get that pig.
I mean, honestly, the 12-year-old did end up like ending the fight because he hit her with a wrench in her neck. She grabbed a wrench. This 12-year-old boy grabbed a wrench and hit her in the neck.
Fuck.
And then she went down. And this is all happening. Just they're trying to sleep. They're trying to have one nice night alone.
It's the 4th of July.
Oh,
and their
my
guard
God.
Is down. And they say where they were. They said trying to pin her down. She had the strength of 4 grown men. The father later told the station. But the dad and the intruder were hospitalized. And I guess a GoFundMe account is set up to repair the damage to the family's new home. Honestly, I feel like he was almost, I feel like that it was like demo day. Like they did need to actually knock out a bunch of fucking, like all these, they had to get rid of the cabinetry. They had to knock down the wall to give it the open floor plan. So he just started just to fucking give it an excuse.
And despite the fact one person was hit in the neck with a wrench and fired at 39 times, no one was injured. No one was hurt seriously here, but they did non-life-threatening injuries anyway. So I guess technically it's a happy ending. And now that you mentioned demolition day, demo day with guns, fixer-upper needs to come back. Yep. Chip needs to get on a massive AR, or like whatever those huge-ass guns are. God, watch that.
I would fucking
military
see that in a second.
Demo. Oh, destruction.
What I do love, though,
so
is to then delve into the, I love this, delve into the Fox News comments underneath it. Logic before reason says, fired 39 warning shots, proceeded to get beat up by a naked woman, saved by his 12-year-old son. My wife would divorce me if that was the best defense I could mount. Then a needs range time in a hurry. And then N.W. Malamo says, you never fire warning shots. The person is in your house. You aim center mass and put bullets in the target until they stop moving.
Oh, the Fox News comment section. It's a lot of tough guys. That's alphas.
That's tough. Man,
these
are alphas.
Two alphas. It's I know what they are. I'm aware what they call themselves when they scream it to you after 5 PBRs. I know. All right. Well, that is an interesting tale. Let's talk about another interesting tale here. And I believe it's time for Hero of the Week. All right. Let's do Hero of the Week.
Recordings of number stations. I love listening to them. And it is, if candy is
so now we're going to go to my home state of Wisconsin, and the hero of the week, it is the Sheboygan, Wisconsin law enforcement community, because they finally caught the serial toilet clogger, and he was sentenced to 150 days in jail and 3 years of probation. This guy is a 35-year-old man.
I really go through this story because it's interesting, and I don't feel bad for the man. The man just was governed by forces that we don't understand.
The dude, Patrick D. Beeman, he was charged with 12 misdemeanors of criminal damage to property. 7 of those charges were dismissed. As conditions of his probation, Beeman will have to serve 150 days, pay more than $5,500 in restitution, and again, be not allowed to have any alcohol or controlled substance, and complete 100 hours of community service. Which, you know what? I gotta say, isn't that what he wanted? Because he's just going to have to go to all the public parks and go to all the bathrooms. And he's going to be, this is, public service is going to be very difficult for him. I think he might reoffend.
I think it's possible because he says that he was led to, so his, what he did was that he went into women's bathrooms and he lodged plastic bottles into the holes, into the where the dookie goes, the dookie tunnels. He would lodge the dookie, you would fucking fill them up so that women would go to poop or pee in them, and then the poop and pee would overflow onto their feet, or would go up into their go into their shoes, or it would touch their butt.
Yes, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I mean, it is horrible. It's very specific. But what
it's
he
very
said
bizarre.
Was that he didn't understand his own impulses. He was like, I don't know what drives me to do weird things, but I did them.
And not just, there's a lot of other things I could have done. You know what I mean? Honestly, though, right? Like, I definitely could have come in all the mayonnaise. but I didn't do that.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do that. No, that's actually, that is, oh, did you do that?
No.
No, but you're saying no like yes.
No.
Should I put this sandwich down?
I have a lot of impulses.
I do understand that, you know, it's a, he is, he needs help. He needs a little bit of a reach out here, but it also shows you really need to follow your temps around. Because they didn't realize, because he was from a tent, he's a temp at all these offices.
Right.
So they were noticing that these toilets would get plugged up at each. You had to be a real Sherlock Holmes to figure this guy out.
Oh, absolutely.
You had to put together the pattern to see that he was doing this in multiple locations. And I guess he's not going to get picked up for that temp service for at least another 6 weeks.
Oh, I think he'll have to get out of jail anyway first. Yeah, he said he just would go through the garbage, he would find bottles. And so I think you also enjoyed the scavenger aspect of it, like he was playing Borderlands in real life.
No, it's like Marcus with looking for records, where Marcus doesn't like...
It's just like that, but you can't plug a toilet with a record.
I don't know what he does at home.
He listens to the records.
I know he listens to the records, but I don't know what he's done when he's done with them.
You listen to them again after you put them back.
Honestly, it's his home. If him and Carolina have a fucking arrangement where he shoves up and he stuffs the toilet so the Duke would touch Carolina's butt, then I'm certain that that's a thing they must have discussed before they agree to get married to each other.
Uh-huh. I don't think that he does. And yes, if they did have that, I would hope that would be a long discussion.
They would have to agree.
Well, they would have to agree that that would be okay.
Yeah. We got a lot of reach out, too, about my questions about the BDSM community and actual forms of people to send and to each other, like contracts over what is appropriate in kink play. And I found it very interesting. Like, basically, the thorough discussion that's to go into it, especially when it's supposed to be the, like, rape fantasy or these things that are supposed to be, like, anti your will fantasies, which are very interesting.
You got to be very careful. Well, did you want to read any emails before we wrap up?
I do. But what a great story. Good for Sheboygan Police for putting together.
Sheboygan Police.
They put the clues together.
They did. They got it all figured out. So you're the hero of the week because, you know, oftentimes we make fun of law enforcement on this show when they make mistakes. But when they do something right, we got to say congratulations. Good job. The city is safer. The toilets are cleaner. And dare I say, there'll be less Duke on the floor, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing, but I do think, I agree with you, I think he's going to fucking offend again. He's going to do something weird. But hopefully it's something like rubbing a bunch of bananas with his butt. But hopefully in public. Like, it's like one of those where it's not directly, like, violent or antisocial. It's just weird enough for the cops to pay attention to you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so last week's episode, we told a story about a man who took a bit of a pee-pee over a bridge and ended up peeing on a series of people, causing a bunch of injuries. And Henry and I, we both said it must be a man because there's no way a woman could do it. But as we try to all the time, we grow, Henry. We grow. I always grow.
My love handles. My love handles are turning into love wings. Ooh. I'm turning into a giant fucking pterodactyl of amore.
New information came to light, and we have learned a lot.
Okay, so we got a message from a lovely woman named Vex Voltage that she says this, which I thought was very interesting. Hey, I'm an adult actress, and I actually film a lot of solo piss porn. I love balancing myself upside down and seeing what sort of stream I can get. After filming a lot and doing different things with it, I found out, at least for me, that wherever the urethra is aimed is where the pee will go. Knowing that, I can use abdominal push force to determine how far and how much of an arc I can get. My favorite is balancing myself upside down on my shoulders and pissing into the air. I call it the bitch Bellagio.
Oh,
I hope this answers the piss question. I really like that. I mean, honestly,
it really does.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, thank you for that. I have another pee-pee story that relates to fucking tourism that I wanted to tell people.
All right, I am just gonna say, Henry told me this one before. I'm not gonna hand out gold stars. This isn't a gold star, but this story is freaking disgusting. That's all I'm gonna say. So be warned, you're gonna feel gross after hearing the story that must be told. Evidently,
I guess so. This comes from C. Quick story of the time I peed in the glory hole, an unfortunately named rock formation, and I believe is Ouachita National Forest, which is Ouachita, a name I only included to hear Ben and Henry fight about how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's, I don't, what do you want me, I have no idea, it's Ouachita.
A couple of friends and I hiked into the glory hole since we were determined to see it after laughing like sixth graders at the trail map. We got to the top of the glory hole, which is basically just a giant hole through a limestone rock shelf. I started peeing and, of course, shouting, "I'm peeing in a glory hole! I'm peeing in a glory hole!" One of my friends had hiked on to below the rock shelf and then came sprinting back. He started silently shushing me and carrying on, so I stopped yelling, but due to my careful hydration strategy while hiking, I found myself unable to stop the flow.
Uh-huh.
There was a family down below admiring the lukewarm trickle, and the daughter had put her hand in it while my friend looked
on. That is so disgusting. That story is so much worse than the pee on the boat story that started this entire bizarre series of events of stories.
Then we got
that
stuck in
horrible.
A thunderstorm under the rock shelf with the family for an hour.
Okay, good. Well, at least they got a thunderstorm to wash everything off. Oh, my God. That story is so nasty.
It's fucking
worst
awful.
Worst things have happened.
Honestly, they have.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, honestly, those people, that little girl would have been paid at least if Jeffrey Epstein was involved. Actually, I don't think so. I think you're correct.
No, I think it was very, he had a lot of money and he didn't spend that much on all that. It was, anyway, 100% disgusting. But there it is. That is this week's side stories. Thank you all so much for listening. And don't forget, we got some tickets available still for San Diego. Come on out.
And Oakland. We have a little bit, we have a couple of tickets left for Oakland too. So please. Get on that shit. I wanted to give a little bit of thank you to some people that have sent me some beautiful things. Carly Jerome, thank you so much for the Live, Laugh, Love embroidery that you made.
Embroidery.
We have so much of this. I do love it. I don't know. Can we be sued for this shit? For Triple L?
Live, Laugh, Love? No, that's not. I don't think it's catchphrased.
Yeah, no one said anything to it. I haven't got enough fucking. Because it's like, no. I imagine who'd own it. It's somebody like Oprah.
Yeah, no, Live, Laugh, Love, man. That's universal. That's like the happy birthday song.
I want to say thank you to Max. Well, the fucking birthday song was owned for a long time.
Well, it's not anymore.
It's not anymore, but it was. So does somebody own it yet?
Live, Laugh, Love is going to be okay. No, it's not owned
again. Do we need to own it?
No, we don't need to own it.
I don't want to own it. I believe that every idea should be free.
Okay.
I don't want to own it.
All right.
Okay, so this comes from Max. Sent me a wonderful pop-up cardboard of the only baseball player that exists, Bobby Bonilla. But he did send it from when he played with the Pirates, which is not as fun. And that's fine, though. But thank you so much for that, Max. It's very, very nice. And I just want to thank Isaiah for the evil ashtray that you sent ahead of your letter, which was just a scary ashtray with the fucking Baphomet and the fucking Anton LaVey symbol in the center of it, just in a box that was sent to me several weeks ago, which I loved, but we didn't know who it came from, so I want to say thank you for Isaiah for sending that to me.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for listening.
Also, did you notice shit in Australia? You know what was one thing I wanted to talk about that I think that I, one true cultural thing that I wish we could get from Australia? You check out those fucking trucks.
Yeah, the trucks?
Yeah, the fucking 4x4s in Australia are fucking dope. You look at these things?
I thought you were going to say how amazing they are when it comes to women construction workers.
That is interesting. Construction,
that was the only cultural difference I actually noticed was the construction workers.
Well, they said
just
it's a hipster
beautiful.
Job there. Construction's like a hipster job there, where here it's like it's anybody who takes it. But I think, honestly, it's a great hipster job. It's a great job because it gives you it pays good money and it's fucking physically active. And we need smart, good, fucking willing people to do those jobs because fucking Los Angeles buildings just fall apart. I'm watching these people fucking buildings.
Oh, my God. Be careful out there, by the way. I'm watching all the, I consume information.
I know.
And this earthquake stuff is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, man. We went through our first real, that was the first real earthquake I've ever fucking experienced. We were watching Midsummer. So we're in Midsummer.
Oh, no kidding.
I had eaten like 40 milligrams of fucking edibles. It had just all kicked in. I just gave it, but it was just starting to rock. It just as they arrived at the cult, the whole fucking theater just starts going. So for
I didn't
second,
realize you actually got, you felt the shakes?
Dude, it went for like fucking 20 seconds. It was like a long one. We're sitting there thinking like,
holy
shit. Someone's kicking my chair. All of a sudden, the whole theater's moving. It moved a bunch of shit around my house, but apparently, because it was a 7.1 in L.A., that was the fucking earthquake that fucking did crazy damage in Mexico. That's the same size. That's how much L.A. has changed, is that, like, if this was the 80s, it would have ripped up the city.
Right,
but it
right.
scared the fuck out of me. That shit's
maybe
scary.
Maybe just sleep, like, get a Velcro patch on your bed, sleep in, like, a Velcro suit so you
like
can
Like an astronaut.
Never, like an astronaut. Anyone out in that area, be careful. Get your kits. Have your kits ready. I think our boy Eddie from Brighter Side, I think he's got a kit coming. It's just going to be full of toilet paper and a whole series. I love
it. It's just a bottle of fucking Jack Daniels. And he just waits until his belly's vibrating, and that's when he knows the earthquake's in.
Honestly, that's how you do it, because in an earthquake, when you're half drunk off of Jack Daniels, you're sober because the whole thing is going crazy. Man, I got this all figured out.
You'd be great in an earthquake. Honestly, you would be, because you could hold the structure. You have to be like Hodor. Where you go, Hodor, Hodor, and you grab the sides of the building. Oh, my friend. Yeah. This building's my friend.
Right. Well, you know, Hollywood, this is a reminder to Hollywood, tall people also have good voices usually. And for some reason in Hollywood, they all sound like they can barely breathe. But I don't know.
I'm just some kind of tall guy. I'm some kind of tall guy.
Oh, my goodness.
So, guys, especially out here in the land of shaky knees, that's how I'm called in Los Angeles. Shaky
like
knees
it.
For the boys and the girls. You got to love every day like it's your last, because you never know when that chasm's going to fucking open up and swallow your entire family and everything you've ever known. It's going to happen any day now. You got to live. Live. That's it. That's live with a bunch of musical notes underneath it and
that's
a bunch
great.
Of eyes. I think
that's
great.
What you like.
And you gotta laugh. Huh. Because again, you never know. You just never fucking know when the whole world's gonna fucking betray you. When literally the ground beneath you is gonna betray you. Mm-hmm. So all you can do is eat another 40 milligrams of edibles, fucking have a couple of bourbons, which I had directly after the earthquake, just to chill myself out.
You should have had it before.
Absolutely.
You gotta prepare.
It definitely, it scarred Wendy. She is not a survivor.
No, she's a dog.
She is.
Anyway.
No, but fucking Puffin's a survivor.
Puffin, yes, he's low to the ground too. Well, so is Wendy, but he's
sturdy.
He's like a bully ball.
He's sturdy. You're raising him right.
I hope so. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself in the Los Angeles area. Be safe. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me, you fucking dirty pig. You dirty pig, hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.